What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's good, y'all? You got Matt or Haz bringing it in today. What's going on, everyone? Again, hey, we've been hitting the consistency again. It's good to see all three of you, three of my favorite people here in the Smash community and in the world in general. Let's do a little round the horn. How did you do this week? Charles, how you doing? Yeah, everyone thought it was gonna be them, but no, it was Chuck. All right,
I was
only
bobbing my
Chuck.
head because I knew you were targeting me, so that was my
I was
response.
targeting you,
So,
yeah.
I had a pretty good week. I feel a lot better. I was after QuakeCon, I had a cold for like a week or two, so I wasn't going to the gym and stuff. So today or yesterday was the first time back in the gym after taking like a 2 week break. So that felt amazing. I'm not a fan of skipping the gym, so it's great to be back in there. Back on a Monday, you already know. And then, yeah, I mean, everything's been going great. All the work stuff here in Hawaii has been going into my favor, which it hasn't really been going in my favor for the other past like year or two. All of this stuff has been going on, so I'm super happy about that. Things are finally starting to pave out really well for me and my family here in Hawaii. So,
Nice,
W.
man.
And got to watch some Smash this weekend, so that's always fun. We had the tournament in Japan and the Luminosity Invitational, so
End game
obviously
is
we'll
game.
probably be. And game is game, obviously, amazing tournament name. But yeah, I mean, other than that, everything's been going well on my end. What about you, Gavin? Oh, damn, that was
Oh,
quick,
did say, oh, the
snappy,
quick gap.
easy.
Here we go.
I'm pretty good. It's an interesting travel thing because I left for the Invitational Friday morning, did content all day, and then I competed Saturday and I went home Sunday. So it feel like everything feels like one day ahead right now. It feels like it's Wednesday, you know what I mean? Even though
Right, because
we're
when you get back home, you feel like it's Monday, right? But it was actually still your
We
weekend,
are
which is
watching this on
crazy.
Wednesday, hopefully, if you're nice enough to support the show. But we're recording it on Tuesday. But yeah, I'm pretty good. Played a bunch of Smash, got kind of farmed. Went to a really cool card shop in Miami. I want to do that when I travel. Like just find somewhere like a card shop and like, because I have the privilege of traveling so much that I want to take advantage of it from that perspective.
Which is so different, by the way, from when you were younger. Because I mean, I feel like when most people travel out to Smash, it's like, damn, there's some cool stuff, but I spent a lot of money and resources to get out here. I'm trying to grind with as much good players or different players as possible, right? So it's that's always interesting. And I know you've been getting more into like Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff. And apparently, it was like a pretty iconic shop that you guys went to, right?
Yeah, I think it was pretty infamous. There's so many binders of Yu-Gi-Oh! There was people playing like Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon, like there's Pokemon binders everywhere. It was crazy. Like I just never really seen anything like that. So it was pretty amazing to me. Phil, EE and Light went with me, and Phil's like he's played card games in the past, so he thought it was like normal. So he thought it was kind of like funny how like excited I was. So I grabbed like a bunch of cards I wanted for all the Yu-Gi-Oh formats. So I just hope I get to do stuff like that more often when I travel. Like I'm going out to level up this weekend. So it's a convention, so maybe just in within the convention I'll find some cool stuff.
Last year, I do remember being there being a good amount of card like stands or whatever, you know what I mean? So, and then they also had that was when last year at Level Up, that's when One Piece just came out. So they also had a
I
One
remember
Piece
that.
TCG tournament. So, I mean, I think Level Up will have at least a decent amount of TCG stuff for, you know, multiple TCGs.
Yeah, for sure. All right. What's up? Has.
I knew it. We both knew it, actually. But here, I'm gonna flip it. Marcus, we're going to you first. What's up? How you doing? Didn't see that coming.
I knew you were gonna do the flip, dude.
Gotta keep
I
on
knew
his
it, dude.
toes. Let's
Okay,
go, Marcus.
y'all are geniuses. I didn't know.
Yeah,
Apparently,
dude. Come on, you guys didn't know he was gonna do
so. Dude, so many YouTube comments will be like, I knew Haz was gonna do that, by the way. I knew it.
that.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if you knew Haz was gonna do that, because I thought it was kind of obvious, but
Dang, that's crazy. Hey, what the? I did not think that
Charles
was
has my
obvious.
number too.
I thought Haz was going next because I always be like, I always go first. So I was like, I'm going last this time for sure. Anyway, I don't life's been pretty good, man. So I'm started walking recently.
Oh my god.
Which is like, I know. He's only 10 months, so. Well, I guess he turns 11 months in like a week. Actually, literally a week. I guess six days from when this is aired. But yeah, he started walking recently, which is cool. We've been trying to get our shower fixed. We take baths, like, for people like, y'all don't have showers. Like, our shower's been broken for like a few months, and it's like been this whole runaround with home warranty and home ownership stuff. So that was really fun, but we finally got someone out. So they said we have to like replace our entire shower essentially. So that's going to be great.
Oh, and it's a big job.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Wait, subscribe to the Patreon. This week's topic.
True.
Home repair. Shower.
True.
Yeah. Actually, I used to actually do that for a couple years, like renovating bathrooms and stuff.
Patreon thing.
It was a good episode. Yeah, it was a good Patreon.
Good Patreon, and you're going to fly Chuck out to fix your shower. Everybody wins. Hey, we'll do a live episode. In.
Oh, hey. Wow. And we're just getting ready for the summer. His first year birthday is also coming up soon. So we brought like a patio set, and I put that together. And
nice.
Fire pit table, grill, like all the adulting stuff. Okay. Yeah, but it's like tiring, and I'm like, but, you know, it's great to like, I don't know. Live
it's
life.
It's so satisfying, bro.
I know. It's like satisfying when you like accomplish stuff, but like as it's happening, you're like, God, man, it's taking me hours to put this stuff together. And then it's finally, and you're like, all right, now I get to enjoy this for the foreseeable future.
So, ever, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, life's been good, though, for sure, for sure, for sure. All right, Haas, bring it on in.
It's been tough. Yankees are no longer in first place in the AL East. They're falling apart. Taylor Swift's album was a 6 out of 10 at best. No more questions.
Dang.
Oh, no. The YouTube comments.
L. Oh, they know. That's how the internet's been. It's fine. She's got a flop, and then the next album's going to be a banger. Don't worry about it, chat. We'll be back.
I didn't even listen to it yet.
Well, that's not worth. Who's we?
Who's we?
So life has been terrible. Actually, life's been good, too. Man, I'd say busy. The weekend was great. There was a lot of good Smash to watch. Again, my EU tournaments and me always get along well. I'm drinking a coffee. I'm chilling, watching Mudez play, watching Gluto play, watching Shuton farm once again early in the morning with a cup of coffee. I love doing that, dude. It's like my favorite way. Again, my secret life, one of my favorite things is going to morning or matinee movies during the day because it's the best. You go, you see your movie, it's dope. You had a great time. You had some popcorn. Then you walk out, and it's bright outside. I'm telling you, chat, if I haven't said it before, I'll say it a million times. Matinee movie is the best. And just like that, that's how I like my Smash too. So I had a lot of that this weekend, which was cool. I'm also car shopping right now, which is equal parts super cool, but also really stressful. So I'm all over the place with that. Some days I'm like, I'm not even going to get a fucking car because I'm way too stressed out about it now. And other days I'm like, actually, why don't I spend like 20 grand more? That sounds cool. Like, let's do that. It's like, wait, what the hell? So knowing me, yeah, exactly. So I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sure someone in the chat will ask. I'm looking at Jeep Grand Cherokees, and I'm also looking at BMWs. So, chat, hit me with your recommendations, okay? At this point, I'm so open. Like, any suggestion, I'm like, that sounds great. Let's do that, is where I'm at in the process. So, it's been a few weeks. I'm in no rush. Trying to figure that out. And, cool. Yeah, I mean, that aside, a lot of baseball, a lot of Smash. What?
So, our YouTube comments are going to be about Jeeps and Taylor Swift.
Yep.
W. Best week, dude. I'm excited.
And if they
wait.
Thought Haz was going to switch it over to pink.
Yeah.
My favorite topic.
And everyone's going to be honest, right, guys?
Talk about how great the Yankees are, too. And we're talking about the best YouTube comments of all time. But yeah, it's been great. I mean, similar to what you were saying, Gavin, actually, I love what you said about using sounds bad, but as a Smash competitor and traveler, I mean, Charles, Marcus, and I also have done the same a lot throughout our time in Smash, whether it's for casting or for playing and all this stuff, but going to cities and being able to actually experience them and not just being heads down and staring at a monitor the whole time is like one of my favorite, like when I'm done with Smash, that's going to be what I always think about. I got to go to Vancouver, right? Like places in NorCal, San Jose, like all these beautiful cities that maybe in places that have this awesome culture and like even just things like coffee shops and other things that I've never experienced otherwise. I just love that so much about Smash. And actually, Mudez, 10 out of 10 Smash posting this week. Because Mudez was just posting about being in Italy, which was amazing. Obviously, I was reliving so many things in my time in Italy through Mudez this week. It was so awesome. So shout out to Smash for making the world a smaller place for all of us and being able to let us experience these things. And when you go to Smash tournaments, I know there are going to be a lot of you going to do what Charles said. And on that early Gavin grind set where it's like, I go to a tournament, I paid to be here. I will be in the 24-hour venue for 23 hours. Like, that's it. And I get that. I totally understand. But it's just, you got to go. Like, when you're in those areas, like, you got to experience them, man. Like, even some tournaments, I fly in a day or two early just so I can be there. Like, Atlanta, Charles was going to go to the Braves game with me for MomoCon. They're away chat, so we're not going to go. And Charles pretended to be upset about it. It's very awesome of Charles to be a good friend and go to a baseball game with me. Charles is so tight at the Braves for being away that week. But
come on,
I think
Braves,
it's just,
get it together, bro.
I would recommend doing one thing. Just figure out one thing you want to do. Like, I know, oh man, I think it was Gommel where they had the, was it the scooters or like the hover rounds that they had there, basically? Oh, that was fun too. Like, there's just so many of the scooters.
You can go to the Coca-Cola factory or whatever. Have you ever been?
We could do that. I would go.
I've never been to the Coca-Cola factory.
Oh, we went.
Gavin.
Me, Gavin. Yeah, me, yeah. Gavin, and B.
It was pretty good. Cool.
And then you the other half. You guys, I think. Yeah. Didn't you guys go to the aquarium too? I heard the aquarium was lit.
It was.
All right, Charles, we go. I'm down.
We go. We
got, I think Atlanta's cool. I'm looking forward very much to MomoCon. It's one of my favorite tournaments every single year. It really is.
Yeah, we got MomoCon. We got Level Up. We got Gommel. I got to get my life together and make sure I get there.
But before we get into it, of course, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, give us a 5-star on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And today's Patreon topic, thanks to Marcus, thanks to Pink. It's the worst position in Smash. So we're talking about like disadvantage in general and like what's worse in other scenarios. And we even get pretty granular in terms of like matchup specific stuff. So it was a great conversation. It was actually a little bit longer than we usually do, which tends to be the case when we get passionate about a topic. So the Patreon episode's a little longer, but I'm pretty sure you guys are excited about that. So make sure to check that out. It's the best way you guys can directly support us so we can continue doing what we love, which is this podcast, obviously. So yeah, now we can get into the topics. I know someone was a little bit upset that Level Up Expo was a B+ tier, you know. I know Light made a tweet about it.
It was Paris, yeah. That's how you know Gavin isn't on Twitter, by the way. He was like, what the hell are you talking about?
I was like,
Paris is getting destroyed by yet another country. They just hate him again.
Yeah. He's not too friendly with the other countries, huh? But I will say, when you look at the talent pool side to side, it's like, damn, that does kind of suck. It doesn't feel like a B+ tier, but I mean, on paper, it's just Japan has so many ranked players in the top 100. It makes sense, right? So, I mean, it's just crazy to see like all the best US players practically there, and then Sonic's on top of that, and then it's just like B+. I'm like, dang, really? Like, I would have expected it to be A, and maybe it'll be an A if more players join, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's crazy. B+, huh?
Gavin's like, I'm flying all the way to Vegas. Careful. For a B+.
Careful how you choose your words here. Paris already picked this fight and he lost.
It's not even that I disagree or not. It's just funny because there was more players going to Level Up than I thought. So I thought it was harder than I originally thought. And now it's like, damn, it's still only a B+ with that knowledge. So, I mean, we'll see. I have my travel stuff for Level Up, but I got to get ready for like all the other stuff we were talking about. It's kind of, there's like a week or two where it was chill, but now it's kind of back in full swing, it feels like. So
yeah, I feel like this is when the like summer of Smash starts to kick off, you know. It's usually around like April going into May, and then it's just a lot of events during the summer. It's going to be crazy. I don't know how you do it. You're just back to back flying everywhere.
Yeah,
Young Buck flying all over the world.
I guess to sum up,
Smash Brothers
for Luminosity Smash Invitational. Let's see. Sephiroth sucks.
Are we back here?
No way.
Byleth sucks.
Charles, why didn't you stop Gavin from playing Sephiroth? If only you had expressed early.
What confused me was like, okay, clearly, when I was watching the event, I didn't watch a lot of it. I was watching a lot of basketball. I'm sorry. Like, playoff basketball is time.
It's too lit.
But I don't know. The energy there just seemed weird. Like, it didn't really look like... Like, it looked like there were half people who didn't care, and then there was, like, half people. The other half was, like, giga try hard sweating, like, I'm winning this event. So it was, like, really weird to see that juxtaposition of, like, you on Sephiroth, Leo on Byleth, like, just chilling, playing Smash, and then seeing, like, Sonic's, like, hey, it's time. I'm timing y'all all out, you know? Like, it was like really, really strange to see. And I was just like, am I supposed to be enjoying this event? Like it doesn't even like the players are enjoying it. Why would I enjoy it? Like,
I think we said that before the event started. It was just like an interesting format to run with initially, like a 1-day invitational. I think we talked about that. We're like, what exactly are the expectations here? And then it was 2 out of 3 pools. I was like, ooh. Sometimes that's interesting and compelling, like in earlier rounds where someone can cause a big upset because like it was only 2 out of 3 and at a best out of 5 you get like, you know, like that from a viewer standpoint, not as a competitor standpoint, that's interesting. But then it was like, but these are 2 out of 3s on invited players who all have played each other. Like, I think pretty much everyone in that building has played each other before, like if not many, many times. This is one of the most storied rivalries. So it felt like a lot to try to squeeze into 1 day. And I hope that, and it seems like Luminosity is open to feedback and all that stuff, but I hope that they can like learn and grow from this, because I do think it was a good first attempt at having an invitational and all that stuff from a viewer standpoint. I don't know how it was competing or anything like that, but I think like all the ideas are right there, but I think the execution just needed to be a little more straightforward or a little more streamlined. It would be my feedback as a viewer, because I also had it amongst many things I was watching that day, including other Smash tournaments and stuff. So it was interesting though. What do you think, Chuck?
Well,
not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm just 2 out of 3 was kind of whack. Evo top 8 vibes, like what's going on here? But I get the time restraint, but it's like, why put that time restraint on yourself? Like, you're flying these players out. Like, I'm just trying to think of it as in a logistical point, like a logistical point of view. It's like, all right, you're saving money on like one night of hotels, and it's like, damn, if that's the decider, like if the budget's so tight that one night of hotels is the,
well, it'll be the venue too. There's a lot,
and the venue, right? But like it almost feels like you're kind of like stepping halfway into the water but not fully going in type thing, where it's like, well, if you don't have the budget to go all the way in and make a invitational, like a 2-day event, at least a 2-day, man. Cause like trying to do it in 1 day is really, really rough. So yeah, I mean, I don't. And the other thing too, is anything with an invitational, you got to realize the standards are extremely high.
Yeah. That's a good point.
This is coming from, you know, me and Haz, who are involved with the, like directly involved with the Watch the Throne team. And, you know, BTS set the bar high, man. BTS was fucking incredible. I don't think anyone in Smash right now can even really top what they did. The bar is set so high. The production level was fucking insane. Like they did an incredible job and they paved the way and they set the bar really high. And I mean, when we did Watch the Throne, we knew we couldn't really get that close to that bar, but you got to try to get at least like semi close to it, because if you don't, then the bar just set so high, everyone's expectations are set so high, and then if you just come out with a product that doesn't even kind of like meet that halfway 1 day, you know, like there's all these different restrictions, it's gonna be tough. And I'm just being honest, you know what I mean? Like I want them to, if they ever do hear this, like I want them to take this feedback and, you know, really, really run with it, because they're investing in a Smash, and any company that wants to invest in a Smash, like I'm for it. I love Smash and I want Smash to be as big as possible. So I just want any investor to not feel like they're throwing their money into a black pit and there is no ROI or anything like that. So,
it's good intentions, right? And like, it's just that the execution wasn't 100%, you know, perfect or whatever. I don't think we really need to dive too deep into the details there, but it just, I don't know, from Watch the Throne 2 to their credit, there are things that we never said we would deliver on at Watch the Throne. And people are asking, where are the skits? Where are these things that we all, just because, similar to what you're saying, Charles, the expectations are so high. Man. Oh, it's crazy high. As it should be, though. I mean, tournament formats and standards and all this stuff in Smash, it's all, especially because we don't have a unified rule set and all this stuff, even regular quote-unquote tournaments are all a little different. But then when you do something that's so different, like an invitational, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough waters to jump into. But I definitely appreciate putting this together and trying to get it done in one day, which is also different, and trying out something new and trying things. 100% awesome. Like, that is great. Let's try things. That sounds fucking awesome. How do we fix them going forward? Or how do we make them better, right? Or how do we, especially because three of us were just viewers, right? Charles and Marcus, we were just viewing back at home. How do we get more engaged? Or how do we get more, you know, what would you say? I feel like Marcus usually has, not to put you on the spot, but I feel like Marcus usually has good feedback for things like this.
First things first, we need some good advertisement. Some marketing. There were so many people who were like, what's the LG Invitational? I was like, oh yeah, the LV. Like, I was at my local. I was like, yo, oh yeah, the LG Invitational's happening this weekend. They're like, what's that? I'm like, wait, what? Y'all don't know? They're like, they invited like 10 players, and I'm like, naming the players. They're like, I didn't even know that was happening. I think that was like the biggest thing for me. Was that I felt like a lot of people didn't really know that the event was happening. And that is where, like, everything starts. Like, I think about Watch the Throne. And, like, to put it nicely, y'all would spam it. That would just say, well, y'all would
spam. We were annoying.
OD spamming.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You were, okay. Thank you, Has. Yeah. Like, every like 10 minutes, I would do, wash your throat. Hey, make sure like it's plugs everywhere. You know, you're tweeting about it. You got people talking about it. You're going to extra mile to make sure that people know that it's happening. I felt like maybe I missed the other announcements, but it was in that.
Well, like, the announcement was tied to the April Fool's Leo joke, but it was at the end of the April Fool's joke. So you got to realize, like, the percentage of people that watch any minute or 2 minute long video, it is like less than 10% of people that click that video that watch it all the way to the end. You need to front load your advertisement or marketing. You just have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like that, the announcement being tied to that specific video at the very end, like, how many people watched that video all the way through? You know,
I mean,
like,
I was one of
not
them.
Everyone,
no, but well, yeah,
right, but not everyone's gonna do that.
Yeah, for sure, because I'm pretty sure after it was like April Fool's, I'm not retiring. People probably clicked off, like what, like, oh okay, he's like chilling. You know what I mean? But I just saw that like there was a little bit of time left, so I figured I'd watch it. But realistically, like,
how we viewed it at Watch the Throne was the thing that we really have, the asset we have that's so valuable, are two podcasts that have a lot of reach in the community. Shout outs to Paris, shout outs to Gavin for helping us use their platforms. And your socials. Your socials are enormous. Like, just there's so much. They had HBox, they had Mars, they had all these guys. And I did feel like it was undercommunicated a little bit. I don't know.
And even if you have to pay and invest money into, like, okay, pay talent X amount of money, I want these amount of like ads or whatever in your videos and stuff like that. Like, that kind of stuff is worth it if they're looking for viewership. And from what I heard, the viewership, and even when I was tuning in, the viewership looked pretty low. So I'm assuming they're investing this kind of stuff to get as much viewership as possible, because that's how you go and get sponsors and a snowball and stuff like that. So I'm very surprised, because even their talent lineup, it was obvious that they didn't hire top level talent for commentary, right? And that's another part of marketing when you get those people involved into like advertising and stuff like that. So it just depends on how much budget they were working with. So maybe, like I said, just my initial feedback is that, like, it looked like they had to be on a very specific budget one day, you know, seeing the talent there and stuff like that. So it's very obvious that they're on a budget. So maybe get a bigger budget before trying to do something like this, because halfway in, halfway out, just I feel like it doesn't work, especially for invitationals.
Well, and a part of it is that we, like Charles said, brings us back to the main point, is we want to see Luminosity succeed and have good events,
yes,
because they have a lot of great players and they have a lot of good intention. And again, sometimes you just got to try shit in order to see what works, see what sticks. You got to throw something at the wall. So I did appreciate them putting some good Smash on my screen this weekend. And Shouts to the guy Shattuck, by the way. Now we can talk about some results, right? Let's talk about the actual results of the tournament rather than doing what we're doing. Shattuck is unbelievable. I think beating Sonics in that fashion with Corrin is so impressive. I mean, this kid has done so much already that's so impressive, but Sonics does so well against all sorties. I think a huge part of that, obviously, is the way he plays with Spargo all the time. He knows if he has to win a tournament, he's probably going to have to go through Spargo at some point or another, to the point where Spargo is guessing which sortie should I use. And Shattuck, like the true solo main he is, just making it work with solo Corrin is so cool. I think he got 3-0'd set one too, right? I always look to Marcus here. I think Shattuck got 3-0'd. It was not, I don't think it was like super competitive, but he brought it back.
I didn't watch pools.
And then he won, I believe he won 3-0.
I didn't watch.
No, that was winner's finals.
Either. I didn't watch or winner's finals. Semis.
So, yeah. Either way. Winner
sets. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, because he played light and winner semis.
And he beat light again.
I didn't beat light again.
3-1.
I saw like the start of light Shattuck. I actually didn't think Shattuck would win. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Shattuck won. And I didn't even see it, so.
It happened pretty quickly. It was weird. Like, Light kind of, like, cooked him game one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the rest of the games were brutal.
That's great.
It was kind of weird. I don't know. Like, he tweeted. There's
a lot of missed parries.
Adaptation wins again. And, like, it's kind of true. I mean, he makes some interesting adaptations. And I think most of them are in the place that he should be making them, which is like Corrin's advantage state. Like the way he goes about playing it, like, changes a lot as the set goes on. He'll start getting more aggressive. Like, I remember watching him versus Sonics and Grands, and before he was kind of iffy on his ledge trapping, but toward the end of the set, he was a lot more confident, like playing closer to the edge, going for grabs on neutral get ups, going for more, for less like neutral air into back air, and more like confident things like, oh, you're gonna jump, I'm gonna hit you with up air, I'm gonna do this forward smash. Like, it's like a lot more aggressive ledge trapping, where before I felt like he was just letting him off the ledge and like trying to play out the corner pressure. But I think after time he just started to see, like, maybe he caught on to some patterns or something like that, because he was playing off the platform on PS2 a lot, because I feel like every game was on PS2 unless I'm mistaken, because, you know, Smash Ultimate. But he was playing off the PS2 platform a lot, which was something I found really interesting, because kind of sidetracked. But I had a local player, Dexter, plays Wolf. He was playing against the Sonic, and he said, yeah, at some point I realized when I got the lead, if I sat on the platform realistically, like, what is he going to do to, like, get the lead back? Like, it's not like he's going to hit me with something that's, like a really clean hit that's going to start a huge combo, especially because I'm Wolf. And if I can, like, contest him on the way down with Nair or forward air or something like that, after he uses his invincibility's gone, like, I'm probably going to win out the situation. And I kind of saw Shattuck doing a lot of that with Corrin. It really made me thinking, like, or had me thinking, like, are characters like Wolf, like Fox, like Corrin, with strong hitboxes under them, should they be playing off the platform a lot more against Sonic? I don't know. But I noticed Shattuck doing that a lot. So it was just something interesting that had me, like, kind of thinking about Sonic a little bit more. Because he's obviously a very strong character, and we kind of need to crack the code because he's going to be everywhere for a long time. And maybe it's not crackable, but that was something that I think I'm noticing people do a little bit more.
You know, when I first started noticing the strategy? It was Sonics versus MKLeo at Wave Dash. It was like a SoCal regional that me and EE went over to commentate. It was like really close by.
I remember
so
that.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And this is when Leo played Corrin, which was lit. And Leo beat Sonics with Corrin. And the way he was doing it is he, because when you think about it, Spin Dash has like ridiculous frame advantage when it hits your shield, right? And you're on the ground. That's when that move is at its best, because it does a bunch of shield damage, then Sonic propels himself away from you, you can't punish it, and then you got to try and chase him down, right? So from there, you, like, the way Leo was playing at Wave Dash, it's like, okay, instead of being on the ground and contesting Sonic when he's going to spin dash in or spin charge in, I'm going to, like, kind of jump around in the air and be on platforms, and I'm going to predict when you're going to spin, and then if you cancel it, cool, no threat. if you spin and then jump up after the spin, I'm going to be there with Nair preemptively or on reaction, depending on how far you are away from me. And as long as, like Marcus said, as long as you got that strong hitbox underneath you, and you, because spin dash and spin charge doesn't really have that big of a disjoint. The thing that makes it crazy is the hurtbox shift. But if you're just covering yourself with a hitbox, the hurtbox shift isn't that crazy. And you're going to win out if you have a disjoint from underneath you, right? So to me, that was like crazy because in our brain, especially back then, it was like, oh, low mobility equals your trash versus Sonic, right? But Korn is a character with not a lot of mobility. Pretty slow. You got an incredible initial dash into shield, which is really good against Sonic because you want to be able to get that initial, like you want to be able to move around and then shield at any moment just in case they spin. But not a very mobile character in general. And this strategy with no mobility, you're not like, oh, I'm just losing to Sonic because I don't have mobility. It's like, oh, okay, well, I have a strategy where I can kind of cover myself and then predict where they're going to spin, have my hitboxes out. And then Korn, when Korn hits you, it hurts a lot. So yeah, it's really kind of changing my viewpoint of Sonic. And it does feel like slowly but surely the community is cracking the code. Obviously, not every character has like this big disjoint underneath them, but maybe, you know, like Diddy Kong with banana throwing it down could be a strategy, right? That's like some kind of disjoint you can throw downward and stuff like that. No, not really. But Gavin, like, awesome. Or like Mithra Nair, Pyra Nair. Like, I'm just trying to think of general things that are just disjoints underneath you that you can throw in the air to stop spin dash, right? In the air and contest Sonic. And I think a lot of characters can possibly do that. So I mean, it opens up a different strategy versus Sonic where you're not trying to like out mobile the most mobile character in the game.
I think something nice about Korin versus Sonic is like it doesn't matter like what part of the move like Nair like connects, because it always is going to pop up and stuff. I think that's so good for the character. It kind of reminds me of like how we've talked about like certain characters like value off of stray hits and like connecting them into like full strings. Like, that's something that's amazing about Mithra, is if Mithra just accidentally, like, clips you, that's a full combo. You know what I mean? Like, they can convert into a full combo pretty easily. Korin's kind of similar because so many moves send at the same angle that I think when you're fighting someone like Sonic, like, things aren't going to hit perfectly. You're not going to space everything perfectly. Like, the stray hits you get, you might not be ready for. But if you're a character like Korin, like, if you do get that stray hit, you're going to convert it even if they were standing still. Like, the stray hit, like, will amount into, like, what you need no matter what, which I think is really valuable, especially because the Nair is disjointed below, like Charles was saying and everything. I don't know. This event just got me kind of thinking, like, I know I just went on this whole, like, rant about playing characters you like, but I don't know. Like, Smash Ultimate, like, doesn't have a lot of, like charm or soul to me right now. So, like, it makes me a little tempted to, like, play it a little bit more on paper. At least a little bit more, like, you know, like I don't want to say it feels solved, but it feels, like, soulless. So, like, I want to maybe, I don't know.
No, not Cloud Strife.
Like, counterpick people a bit more, like... Yeah, I don't even know what characters this would involve, but like
I was gonna say, like how though, yeah.
Like my thought process is just a little different in terms of like what my options are. Like I don't know. There's just not
I don't know,
it's a little dead, the gameplay and like the game in general. But I mean, yeah, that's honestly my like super negative. I haven't thought too deep about it because obviously like I just got back, it hasn't been that long. But yeah, there's like a couple sides to like my personal coin. Like there's, you know, playing it out with favorites and everything. But like I don't know, if you want to place higher and like make some extra money, there's like, you know, there's some other options too. So
put on the tie and get to work, Gavin. Sometimes you got to go out there and do things you don't like for money.
I've been considering putting the tie on for sure. It's been a while since I put the tie on. I'm thinking about it.
Play Donkey Kong.
Bro's talking about selling out and then playing top tiers and it says Donkey Kong? Anyone else like
totally
confused?
There's a difference between putting on the tie and putting on the tie.
Oh, I see.
Come on, Haz. Come on, man.
I was just concerned.
But, yeah, it's hard to say. Like, it is just, like, I don't know. This game is, like, we need Smash Ultimate Deluxe, bro. We really do.
Bro,
we really do.
Please, we need Geno and Smash. We've heard it. We do. Paper Mario.
We do, really bad.
But
yeah,
I don't even. My thing with that.
Don't let me start the rant of like how much I fucking hate Ultimate. Like, I will roast the shit out of this game.
You've tried like Pyromithra. You tried that for a time.
Yeah.
And then you didn't stick with it. What are your thoughts on like that period and how this
I'm
might
saying
be different?
Like more of a middle ground.
Okay.
Like the whole cloud. The whole joke. No, not middle ground for character necessarily.
Oh,
like some sort of middle ground between like. Because, like, the Joker and Aegis phase I had was, like, a I hate this game, like, I want other people to suffer type of thing. And then the other side is, like, I'm going to pick my favorites, who cares if I win or lose, but I'm going to try my best to win, and I have won, like, many times. But I think there's also a middle ground, too, which is, I think, what I did in Smash 4 for the most part. So, I don't know. Because of the nature of the gameplay, in my opinion, like a lot of like the top level gameplay, the gameplay isn't impressive in the perspective of like it's very like impressive and like hard to counter. I actually think a lot of these things are really counterpickable at the character select screen. Just because I think there's just a certain pacing and cadence to a lot of the gameplay and like the top cuts of brackets. And I do think if you pick the right counter pick, you're on the right track. If you're really good at the game, obviously. Like, I don't know what I'm saying right now, but I don't think like the decision making within the match is like necessarily like super crazy, impressive because they've been solo maining their whole lives type of thing. I don't think the gameplay really shows that. I think the gameplay is pretty cut and dry in a lot of situations. And I think, being willing to counterpick if you're really good at the game, obviously can be a good step to take if you're down to try it. But like the nice thing about the characters I play, like Diddy beats a lot of characters in the first place, but there's definitely some middle ground I can do while still playing Sephiroth as well. Cause like, there's not like
Steffy in the rotation.
I'm confused.
There's not some crazy tech skill that these players are doing to separate them from the other players of their characters. I think they're very counterpickable. They're just obviously good players. I don't know. I'm rambling a little bit because I haven't really spoke these thoughts out loud yet, but I don't know.
Cool.
Okay. Do you think...
I like the raw thoughts coming through.
Do you think that is because some of the characters that are better in this game, tools are so strong that there aren't that many like feasible answers to them without putting yourself at much risk? Or do you think it's...
I think it makes it hard for you to like truly figure it out, but there is the option that you can straight up counterpick it if you want.
The broken characters in this game are very overtuned in certain aspects, but if you have like... If you're fast and have a disjoint, for example, you're extremely good against Steve, right? Like, Cloud is such a great pick against Steve because you have a disjoint. So a lot of the scenarios where you're like, oh shit, I can get minecarted or anviled, like that, like, let's be real. It's not like Steve's are doing zero to deaths yet, right? Steve is so fucking overtuned that they don't even need to do that. So they're really, realistically, they're making terrain. And then they're also reversaling you and killing you when they lose neutral. So it's like, LOL, I get a hit. I do like my super 30% unoptimized 80% damage, right? LOL, unoptimized. And then they like make neutral so in their favor by making the wall after getting the lead. And then, you got to play through that scenario, right? And all of this happens when you don't have a strong disjoint to get rid of the wall. So it's like, I feel like there's certain check marks you hit against very specific characters and you just like totally dismantle them. If you don't have those specific check marks, the other shit is so overtuned. You have to outplay them by like 70 to 80% because every time you win neutral, you can get fucking murdered. and it's just the reality of the game that we're playing right now. This is the game we're playing. Yeah. You win neutral, you can die. And it's like, it's ridiculous. But if you have very specific tools, you can dismantle this shit, and then you can like watch Steve players flail into the air and like spam their iron options, and they just get smacked by the Buster Sword in the face. It's like, nope, nope, slapping their hand. Nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't win like that. Nope, like that.
Chuck with that's the visual.
Fucking, that's fucking Cloud playing against Steve players as they're flailing around trying to win. So if you don't have that specific archetype of tools, if you're not fast, if you don't have a disjoint, and like I'm talking like Cloud fast. That's why I think Cloud is just so geared towards beating Steve, right? So I mean that's my opinion on it. And I think there's a decent amount of options. And then there's even like, oh, the frame one outs are really good against Steve because then you don't get, you know, 0 to 70 or 80 from their unoptimized combo. So yeah, I mean, I think you have a decent, like, you got like a handful of characters that can dismantle Steve. And one of them is like a character you even previously played. So I think you can find the middle ground for sure. But it's just really up to you.
Yeah, it's just like a thought process. I'll probably try my best to try it out without sabotaging my results more than I already am. But I did have a really cool conversation. I'm not going to name the name in Miami. I don't want to expose them if they don't want
anonymous.
If they don't,
what did you and Anonymous talk about?
If they don't want their thoughts like out there for sure. I'm sure they wouldn't mind, but I don't know. I was talking with someone and like the way they were explaining the game was like really interesting to me. I think it kind of helped. Like sometimes like there's something you dislike in Ultimate and like you might not even understand why you don't like it until you talk to someone that's like really good at putting into words. But we were watching like two players play and they were saying like it's kind of like they're going to do their game plans and other game plans can't affect how they're going to play. So their game plans are just like clashing and like they're not like merging and like, cause a lot of the best Smash gameplay to me is when the game plans are clearly merging together and you're kind of working with your opponent to figure out how to beat them rather than like two game plans clashing and like you can't really influence the other person's game plan. Like for example, if you think of Sonic versus Fox, they're gonna do the same things they always do, and like there's no way for like those game plans to like merge together to like create something interesting. They're just gonna do like they're two really good characters and they're just gonna do their game plans. And like I think that like there's some sort of comparison what I'm saying for like counterpicking people's characters and like analyzing their gameplay. And like I think you can just counterpick them because I think a lot of these players lose to the same characters for a reason. Like including myself. Like I lose to Steve very often, like pretty much every time. And there's like sometimes a counterpick is just that strong, you know what I mean? Like especially in a tournament setting. So like I don't see why I can't do that. If I want. I'm not saying I'm going to do it for sure. Maybe I'll find some middle ground like I was saying, but yeah. I don't know. It just feels like in Ultimate specifically, a lot of the time game plans clash. They don't like merge together when you're playing.
Fluid.
Yeah, it's definitely not fluid at all.
That's interesting because it makes me think of Melee a little bit, where that game's, I'd say, a little bit of the opposite, where and maybe they had to brute force it at one point, and maybe it's just because the game is so old. But when you're going on that tangent, it kind of made me think of Melee, where it's like, there's such a push and pull between these matchups that however many matchups we see seriously at a top level in Melee, where there's this push and pull of the gameplay. And I think that's what people like about it. A part of what people like about it so much is how refined the matchups are and how they do have that natural flow to them and how they move.
Yeah.
Am I alone in that? Does that make sense? I don't know.
I think so.
I agree. I love watching Melee. Melee is one of my favorite.
And a part of that, because you know, it's amazing. But you know, Marth against Fox on FD. What's the gameplay, right? Like, do we understand what's going to happen? But then it's like, if the Fox is good enough to play around getting chain grabbed a million times, they could just beat them out so bad. You know what I mean? Like, that one thing is on the table. If Marth gets it, well, that sucks. And it's a really, really good option. And it's like, if Fox could play around it for long enough, though, and then we started seeing like this, I don't know. It's just interesting how what you're saying is, I feel like it's still speaks to a younger meta in the game. And maybe a part of that is we don't we have so many matchups that we have to grind. There are so many factors. No, you don't think so?
I think the tools are just too strong for some of the ultimate characters, where there is like, I mean, if you think it's because it hasn't been developed, that's completely fair, but I just can't, like how are we going to influence Sonic changing his game plan? I'm all ears, but how do you
hitbox change? Hitbox underneath you, bro. Disjoint a hitbox underneath you.
But even like, there's too many invincibility. I mean, there's too many invincibility.
For that one, you have to subscribe to the Patreon, then we'll give you all the answers on how to beat Sonic effortlessly.
How to beat Sonic.
How to beat Sonic is actually a good topic.
Like
maybe next week.
Like influence a game plan, or like someone changing their game plan because of you. At a lot of these top level games, it definitely is just straight up game plans clashing, and like some tools are just genuinely better than others.
Or like, I like the game plan thing.
Or matchups are just genuinely like being like checked. Like,
but like look at Melee, right? Like, okay, Falco laser camping, or like someone going for a chain grab, you're fighting the other character. Like, I just feel like there's certain game plans in Ultimate that is just so beyond, like the power creep is just insane. Like, I'm building this wall that you have to hop over to stop me from being God
with this diamond God's weapon. God's the word, yeah.
Yes. Like, what? Like, you just went from, like, combo fiend character with wood into God mode sword character with stray hits. And it's because you're building this wall. And it's like, there's already characters with game plans that are just so overwhelming that it's like you can't apply your game plan at all. You are only working around them. And like characters that pop up into my head are Sonic, Steve are probably the most extreme ones. Min Min, Snake, right? Like these characters' game plans are so ridiculously overtuned that you can't even apply your shit unless it's a direct counterpick, right? Like Cloud can like stop Steve, right? Slap Steve's hand. No. You don't get to kill me for losing neutral. No, Steve, you must play the game. You have to like play through disadvantage, and you don't automatically get reversals that get stocks for losing neutral. No, Steve, you have to actually go through disadvantage. You have to know what it feels like to be a mortal character, right?
So it's like a demigod. Like, it's like semi-mortal. Like has to be killed a very specific way.
Yes, like very Omega specific. But Cloud is one of those characters that can apply pressure to Steve even though the wall is up.
Yeah. Right?
And not every character has that privilege. So I just think, especially when we're comparing like Melee to Ultimate, at least in Melee, at least these motherfuckers are fighting each other, man. Like, or at least the top tiers, they're actually interacting and fighting, and they're playing like quote unquote Smash Brothers, right? But like when I have to like hop over a wall and like wait a minute, like put a wall behind him, like, oh, did you ever watch that Cosmos video where it's like he's playing against Steve and then it turns into Hyrule Temple and they're like, wait a minute, I can't kill Steve. It's like, what the fuck is going on? We literally ban stages that have walls behind them so like you can live forever. We ban that shit.
Yep.
And now there's a character that can literally build a bear workshop, their own stage, and be like, okay, create the wall. Now you have to come up and over the wall, right? Okay, cool. Oh, wait a minute. You got through the wall. Oh, let me build some shit behind me. Okay, now if you hit me, I can neutral tech fucking minecart. Like, dude, what the fuck is going on? Like, I know, it might come off as being toxic, but I'm legitimately, like, talking about this character and what this character does to the game. And we, as a community, throughout other previous Smash games, we literally banned stages that Steve is effectively putting in. Steve is effectively like Hyruling you. Let me just okay, cool. Like, you can't fucking kill me unless it's untechable. And even then, it might, if it's like untechable on the left side, I'm still gonna live. Yeah, and he's like
super heavy. Like, bro, you can't go to that part of the stage. It's not fair. You can't.
That's cheating. Yeah.
Yeah, like literally. And then on top of that, it's like, I don't want to be doom or anything, but it's like, oh yeah, like let's develop the Steve counterplay. Bro, Steve isn't even 50% developed. Like, I've seen like frame one input combos, especially like in Smash 4, where you're like doing weaving perfect pivots in between and stuff like that. Like, Smash 4 meta characters were more developed than Steve because they had to do that to be that good. Steve, they don't have to develop this character to be that good, because out of the package, simplistically, without Nils, he's still broken. He's still just like clearly the best character. So I don't know. And then like the cross-up rule is crazy. Like I don't know, man. I just think Steve is so ridiculously overtuned that if you're actually just trying to figure it out, it's like, even if you figure it out and get the counterplay, Steve can simply just hit you harder.
The risk reward. They can
just simply hit you harder by just staying in training mode and practicing it. They don't even need to interact with the outside world. They could just like in the basement practice training mode, and they can simply just hit you once and kill you.
Wait, honestly, this character sounds kind of lit. Hold up. Wait a second.
About to that training mode, mom. You have to look at Minecraft Steve on your screen while you're doing it. That's the only con.
You can mod him, put a Ken skin over him, call it a day.
I think...
Whoa. We don't promote mods here.
One of the difficult
Ken things... Minecraft...
It's kind of good, right?
I think one of the difficult things for me with, like, Smash Ultimate in general, with, like, you know, just discourse about the meta and, like playing the game and competing is, like, how simplified some of the things is. Like I said, like a lot of the players lose to the same stuff most of the time, like just like whatever they run into in bracket. Like sometimes they have a better bracket, sometimes they don't. But like, it's everything feels so simplified when I look at social media occasionally, like, oh, this player is bad against X, or oh, that's just Smash Ultimate. Like it's never like in-depth conversations or like really breaking it down to the numbers or anything. It's like, oh, Tweak's bad versus Steve. Next. It's like, all right. I don't know. It's just a little, it's just like, why even start the conversation if it's like a very empty one a lot of the time? Like, and I think at the end of the day, like a lot of it is because like some of these tools are so strong that there isn't really an in-depth conversation to be had other than just counterpicking it.
What are your thoughts, Pink? I want to hear some. I don't
think it's just been laughing off screen for like the last 5 minutes.
You need to stop posting LeBron memes in the chat. Anyway,
LeBron dancing is killing the chat, by the way. So we have a live chat that we talk on when we're like off camera, and it's just me and Pink spamming LeBron dancing gifs, which has been amazing. Anyway,
I only have a question. I don't really have too many thoughts on this because. Let me ask the question first. So have you. Because, Gavin, I've known that you haven't particularly liked Ultimate since the beginning. I mean, you used to make some tweets about it.
Yeah.
He warned us, bro.
And it seemed like there was a time where you were kind of enjoying it. But have you always felt... Is this what you were saying in the beginning, essentially? Like, you've always felt like... Some characters are just going to do what they're going to do, and, like, that's how you win, is just by counterpicking them.
Because
I know you weren't liking, like, that it was defensive before. I think that's what your original... Something about it being, like, overly defensive or something like that, but I don't know. Anyway.
I think some of it came true for sure. I don't remember everything I said, but I think some of it came true for sure. And I, like... Yeah, a lot of the time it's just like people brute forcing their game plans because their game plans can't be altered and things like that. And I think a lot of the like Ultimate's pretty sick with how like easily it can be misunderstood to the viewer. I think to this day, from day one to now, like I'm gonna be straight up. Like I usually am like super. Like, I let people say what they want. Like, people have their perception. But I think a lot of people have a pretty poor perception of Ultimate, whether they're players that have won tournaments or not. Like I am not this campy player that people think. Like, a lot of the times
you
I get...
You camp in self-defense. You camp in self-defense.
No, I'm actually... My neutral is just better. I'm not actually this timeout, like ruining people's day. Like, I'm not this, like... My offense is also better. You know what I mean? Like, and usually I'm winning because my damage output's better than my opponent, not because I'm camping them. I just have better neutral. I'm sorry. I'm not actually this defensive, like ruining the game type of thing, like camping. Like, I'm not that. I swear on everything. That is a complete misunderstanding. And I think Ultimate provides that. Like, the things people think are offense are not offense. The things people think are defense are not defense a lot of the time. A lot of the time, it's a complete opposite, at least to me. I don't know. Like, it's just brutal, but I think a lot of gameplay in Smash Ultimate ruins the game competitively because the rule sets are so... Like, the community has a hard time balancing the game ourselves without Nintendo being involved.
Now, when you say you aren't campy, like, when you say you aren't campy, are you saying, like...
I'm aggressive more often than I'm defensive.
But are you... No. Like, I'm
actually... My neutral movement is just better.
Are you saying that people don't want to scrap with you because you're more likely to win neutral, so they end up taking their time?
Dude, they're fighting ghosts and they get upset that I don't like run into their game plan that kills me at 0%.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I'm just moving more than them and I'm just beating them in neutral.
I think sometimes too, when people first play interacting you,
the whole time, they're just stopping in place.
I think when people first play you too, like the learning curve, they get their ass beat so hard, their only natural reaction is like to hit the brake. Like, just stop. Like, that's it. Based on your punish game. Bro, that down throw banana, by the way, if we're going to talk about the HBox set, the banana, oh my God, the double banana toss in the air. I was like, that was so sick.
Like,
that was raw.
That's like anyway. You said, like, I've talked with many people about this. People more often decide, fuck this, I'm camping Gavin, than me saying I'm camping this player I'm playing against. More often than not, I get camped because I just...
Well, that's why I say that you usually camp in self-defense. Like, if someone's not interacting with you and you have the lead, it's like, on paper, why the fuck would you just, like, run into them flailing spot dodger? Right, but it's like, you're also just... You're not dumb and you're not going to make stupid choices that the risk reward doesn't make sense. Like, you're gonna take the risk when it makes sense. You're not just going to be like... I'm going to constantly force rock, paper, scissors scenarios. And like, I'm just going to hedge that I'm going to guess right every single time. Right. Like,
I think something that irritates me is just how often I see, doesn't matter who it is. Like, could be a top player, could be someone I've never seen before in my life. Say something with such confidence, like
confidence.
Like when I read a comment, it's like, yeah, this player should be playing this character for this matchup. And it's like, what? They should? Like, there's no like in-depth explanation as to why, like matchups or frame data. They're just like, yep, they should do this. It's like, all right. I hate that comment every time. Like, I just heavily disagree with or it's like a Sephiroth profile picture. Like, yep, new tweak should play Sephiroth, or like, yeah, they're like, it's like a set I lost. Like, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. I always do this. It's like,
those are Monday morning quarterbacks, Gavin. You can't pay attention to that.
No, I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying this is a common thing at every level of Ultimate where things are simplified to such a degree that they might as well say nothing at all. It doesn't add to anything.
Yeah, I knew Gavin would say that today on this podcast.
Leo shouldn't play Karin.
This happens at top level, but the like some of these things are so strong that like,
yeah, I think too. Like it's interesting because this does tie into another point we were talking about before we went live. But I think people put way too much stock into like the most recent result too. Like,
oh yeah,
you're only as good as your last result. Like, oh yeah, you should ever play this character again because you lost with them, or you shouldn't ever pick this character against Spargo because that just happened. It's like, okay, yeah, but no. But I do like that about Ultimate too. There was a large sample size of the thing. And I did see Spargo, who had a rough tournament this weekend. He lost to Mr. E. Shout out to Mr. E. W win for Mr. E. But now he's like concerned that his ranking, it will be impossible to climb back up from the depth of that tournament, which Chase won, by the way. Shout out to Chase for winning a tournament, which is really cool. I know that's something that Chase has been trying to do for a while at that level. Didn't get to play Spargo, but did win the tournament. But still, it's really, really impressive. But either way, I think it's interesting to think about it in that way. Like, are we really in this far into the meta where it's like I had one bad result at it was like a B tier, I think. It was like a regional. I don't know. I don't remember what tier it was. But is that where we're at? Is that a thing? Is that how people feel, Gavin?
I mean, I just feel bad because I've been in that position when I was younger playing Smash as well. Like, he obviously cares very much about his ranking, and like, who doesn't, right? But it's just a difficult learning process I think top players have to go through. Because I mean, I still struggle with it, but I'm like so much healthier with my relationship with the ranking too. Like, there's so many ways you can look at it. Like, obviously, it's a great like life goal to have as a competitor. It's just win as much as possible, like aim for a high ranking. And, you know, and we can get super, you know, in depth about this and like, you know, act like we're Buddhists or something. But like we can
all about to be enlightened.
Let's do it for a second.
We don't have to do that. But like basically. So a way I cope with it, to be honest, is just thinking about how Smash is just not, it's not a professional sport. It's not the biggest esport it can be. The rules are all over the place. The rankings are all over the place. You can have faith that you'll just try your best, win as much as you can. And, you know, we're still like, we've been doing this for so long and it's still not quite figured out like what it means to be better than someone else or rankings or tournaments. Like,
yeah,
it's all over the place. So like but you can't just say that to him and like he'll get it through to his brain. Like people have to learn things for themselves. People want to win. People want the highest ranking. Like, I can say all this, but I would still love if I woke up tomorrow and I was ranked number one. That would be lit. But you know, I think it's a balance like anything else. Like I'm still shooting to like, you know, play well and win tournaments and stuff, but you know, things have changed so much over the years that you can only really you got to give yourself some slack, I think. Like, this game is pure chaos. Like, we might as well like be playing rock paper scissors sometimes. Like, it is what it is.
It is what it is, Mom.
I'm seeing him go through so many similar things I've gone through over the years. But I have faith in him. He's really level-headed, and he's already such a veteran competitor at such a young age. So he'll be fine.
Yeah, that's why the rankings are rough right now, man. Like, one whole year for one ranking, and it's like, it's so hard because you just can't please everyone, right? Because it really sucks for like the top 10 through 20, where they're really trying to battle for this like, you know, high end spot, especially the race for number one. It's been like, it's so close right now, particularly, right? It's not just this one player dominating like we're used to seeing. It's so close and it's so back and forth. So you have one shit result, and if you're like one of the, you know, 10 players that could contest that number one spot, it's like, damn, man, I gotta hold this shit for a whole 8 months or whatever, right? Like, dang, that sucks a lot. But the pro of that is like, now we can go all the way down to like rank 100 or top 150 or however low it went, right? So that's the nice thing about it for like the lower end ranked players. Like, now they can put numbers on their ranks and it's more than 50, right? But you know, at the cost of some of these higher end players, where it's just like, dang, you get like a couple bad results and you can pretty much count yourself out for like the race to number one. So it's a give and take, but again, we can't please everyone, right?
Yeah.
True, because some people were asking for that at a certain point. And again, I'm happy we are trying things and doing more stuff and putting it out there, but we'll see how it affects everything overall when it's all said and done, baby.
Sixers should have won.
We don't have another hour to do this. Let's just get out of the way.
How did the Lakers lose?
How do you really feel, Gavin?
How did the Lakers lose? How did the Sixers lose? Like
what's going on?
This is trash. This is so sad.
You know what makes me mad? I was thinking about this earlier. Why do people come? Like, they'll say like, "Yeah, Jordan wasn't to let this game go this way."
It's so corny, dude. It's so corny,
bro. Yes, he would have when he was on the Wizards. Like, he was trying. Like, what are y'all even talking
dude,
about?
Everybody,
y'all are comparing.
It's just
prime
like
Jordan stuff, to 40-year-old. Like, what are y'all even?
Not only that, but young Jordan got slapped up too by like the Pistons early on, and all. Like yes, like, absolutely. It's a part of competing, bro.
Why are we not comparing?
There's Wizards a big difference between being a viewer and a competitor, and there's a big difference between being a competitor and a competitor.
Yep.
So
Golly.
A lot of people have stuff to say, and I think it's important to realize how little weight it holds because they don't understand. Like, bro, like some of the things I saw after these playoff games is just insane, but I have to realize, like,
okay,
these people at best played sports in high school or something. Like, that's bro, it.
I will say too, NBA Twitter is fucking hilarious. Right now. Like some of the funniest shit I have ever read on the internet. Like the NBA playoffs this season have been some of the best I've ever watched already. And it's only round one. It's been so fire.
Yeah.
It's been great. So
some of the round ones, like only a couple games. So
yeah. Anyway, well, we were all over the damn place this week. That was fun. Y'all got a full hour though. And we got the Patreon, of course. Make sure you guys check that out. Talking about worst place to be in Smash Ultimate on the stage.
How to play disadvantage.
Yeah, talking about disadvantage physically on or off the stage. Don't what?
Don't lose your stock early. Make your opponent work for it, bro.
Stop giving away the secrets. They have to subscribe for that.
Spoilers.
God.
I mean, we got to tease them somewhat, no?
Yeah.
We did. It was like a half hour, wasn't it? 20 minutes?
It was half an hour, yeah.
Great Patreon, thank you so much
for watching. Bunch of tournaments coming up.
We love Ultimate. Let's go.
I'll see y'all after level up.
Ultimate.
Despite it all, still love Smash, to be honest. My ass still be watching.
That's the classic, bro. Despite it all.
It's a love-hate relationship.
You gotta keep it a buck, though, bro. You gotta keep it a buck. Sometimes it fucking sucks, and you gotta roll with what it sucks, man, or you're not a real fan. Are we talking about Smash or are we talking about Taylor Swift? Next episode. See you later.
See ya. Have a good one.